You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome. Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 420, and you know what that means. That's right, it's National Lima Bean Respect Day. That's right, the world's most respectable edible. Today's all about getting baked beans. Remember, you don't have to like lima beans today, but you damn sure better respect them. You take off your hat when you eat that bean, mister. Beans, beans, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you salute. Now, I'm serious. As we always do on this solemn day, let's take a look at the official Lima Bean Respect Day timeline. As you can see, in the 1500s, lima beans are discovered. Next major event, 2000s, National Lima Bean Respect Day. Just those two. They spent the 500 years in between getting shoved under the mashed potatoes. Now, for those of you less respectful of the bean, 420 is also the unofficial holiday for marijuana. Now, okay. Time for all you doobie-loving potheads to get up to your usual smoky hijinks, folding laundry and hoping half a gummy will help you fall asleep.
Party!
This year is a big one for 420 because new polling shows 37% of Americans say they use weed, while the remaining 63% say they were just holding it for a friend. And the tide seems to be turning on legalization. 2/3 of Americans want recreational marijuana use to be legal under federal law and in their own state. Now, if you smoke, obviously you want it to be legal, but even among those who say they never use marijuana, a majority favor legalization. Well, that makes sense. Marijuana is tame compared to other controlled substances. Its most dangerous side effect is making hacky sack seem like a sport. Now, legalizing marijuana could also help fight racism because black people are 264% more likely than white people to be arrested for cannabis possession, even though they use at similar rates, okay? That stat comes from a true authority on recreational marijuana, the Twitter feed of Ben and Jerry's. You can trust that information, because no one knows cannabis like the guys who invented fish food, Cherry Garcia, and Stephen Colbert's Americone dream. There you go. Oh, yeah. There you go. My glaucoma's getting better already.
All proceeds to charity.
Of course, the trippiest truth about marijuana is that even though it's legal in 37 states, recreational marijuana use remains illegal at the federal level because GOP lawmakers still oppose legalizing weed. Come on, Mitch McConnell. Don't be a square or whatever shape you are. I want to say decorative gourd.
I'm back in there.
There you go. Give me that right there. There you go.
My doctor says it's one of the best sources of waffle cone chunk. One bright spark in this week's News Bowl is that New Jersey is about to begin adult recreational cannabis sales. That is exciting news. That is exciting news, but it means New Yorkers will have to do the unthinkable, drive to New Jersey on purpose. The move is overwhelmingly supported by state residents who can now look forward to Jersey-specific strains like John Bon Jovi, Bruce Spring Strain, Joint Stewart, and of course, Stony Soprano's Ganja Ghoul. The weirdest part. Weirdest part of the story is that Jersey will start sales tomorrow on 421, the day after 420. What are they, high? That's not legal till tomorrow. Not everybody in the hydroponic garden state might get to enjoy the Mary Jane, because at a press conference, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said he's open to changing the rules to effectively bar police officers from getting high while they're off duty. It's all part of Governor Murphy's plan to defund the police. But you gotta be careful. Sure, why not? Not sure if that was worth that. Not sure if that was worth that. You gotta be careful of getting cannabis in the form of edibles, because experts say copycat packaging of popular snacks could lead to dangerous mix-ups with your edibles. Take a look at one of these actual packages. Those aren't regular Doritos you eat when you're high. They're Doritos you eat when you want to get high. And I can't believe they went with nacho cheese flavor and completely missed the obvious, Are You Cool Ranch? Snack makers are not happy about this. One spokesperson for the National Confectioners Association, which is a real thing, said this, many cannabis edibles companies are overstepping on marketing in an egregious way. Careful. We've all seen what happens to people who piss off candy makers. Now, I need a cup of coffee. Now, not all the nugs are diggity dank, as the cool kids definitely say. In fact, the folks at Vice News decided to look for the worst weed in the world, which is evidently a Paraguayan variety called Paraguayo. It's compacted into a brick to make it easier to smuggle, often mixed with marmalade to help it stick together and compact. Marmalade marijuana is, of course, the kind favored by Pottington Bear. And if jammy ganja wasn't gross enough, the gangs who press the bricks regularly leave the seeds inside, which release a urine-ish smell into the marijuana, which could be tough to explain. Matthew, are you smoking weed in there? No, Mom, it's fine. Me and my buddies are peeing on each other. It's for a school project. Congress, this would be a great year to legalize cannabis nationally, because I think we all need a little something to take the edge off. So far, this year, all edge. For instance, we're almost 8 weeks into Putin's attack on Ukraine. After a brief lull, Russia launched a massive assault on the eastern Donbass region that the Kremlin calls another phase of its Ukraine invasion. Oh, sure, just another phase Putin is going through. This year, it's war crimes. Last year, it was goth. Since invading, Russia has taken heavy losses both militarily and economically, and reportedly, Kremlin insiders are now alarmed over the growing toll of Putin's war in Ukraine. Careful. Kremlin insiders have a way of becoming Kremlin outsiders, especially if they're sitting near a window. Now, to avoid hearing from a bunch of Dmitry downers, Putin has isolated himself further, relying on a narrowing circle of hardline advisors. Only the most feared and despised remain around Putin's giant table. Joseph Stalin's mustache, the guy who killed John Wick's dog, Sheikh from Love is Blind, Bridgerton's Lord Featherington, the MyPillow guy, but of course, Putin's cruelest advisor is Potato. Speaking, long walk. Laura.
Yeah, the Laura. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm walking.
Speaking of couch potatoes, Netflix, today, their stock price dropped over 35% after they announced they had lost 200,000 subscribers. That's a lot. Explains why they've changed their pop-up message from, are you still watching, to, come back, please, I can change. Do you want DVDs again? Netflix is blaming the loss of subscribers on a combination of factors like the growth of competitive services. Yeah, they're not the only game in town anymore. It used to just be, you know, Netflix and chill. Now you can HBO Max and relax, Hulu and woohoo, and Peacock. Netflix. Netflix used to go. Really? Really? I'm surprised. Yeah. Slightly surprised. Netflix used to be the go-to spot for big TV and film, but now other streamers have taken back a lot of stuff that used to run on Netflix and put it on their own services. Yeah, like Star Trek. That used to be on Netflix. Now it's exclusively on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, a mountain of reruns we never thought you'd pay for. Netflix is also blaming the subscriber slowdown on password sharing and vowing to crack down. What? Absolutely not. You have the legal right to use your ex-girlfriend's password until she gets married. Then you return it to her as a wedding gift. We got a great show for you tonight.
More Late Show Poncho after this.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
John, we got two of my favorite buddies are on the show tonight. Alexander Skarsgård.
In the his out.
Who's the star of the new movie, The Northman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of abs in that movie.
Oh, he's showing it
off. Yeah, he's got like a 7-pack.
Oh, yeah. Got to sell them tickets.
You got to. Nothing like a little, little butt to put those butts in the seats. that's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Always fun to talk to. And brilliant musician Jack White is going to be here tonight. Folks, there's news from Florida, AKA America's skin tag. We really got to get that looked at. Probably benign, but worth checking out. There's a fight brewing, you see, between Disney and Florida governor and man learning not to feed his snapping turtle pantsless, Ron DeSantis. Governor DeSantis is upset because Disney has vowed to help have Florida's Don't Say Gay bill repealed. And DeSantis wants Disney to return to celebrating traditional family units, one woman and 7 dwarves as God intended. So yesterday, DeSantis moved to strip Disney of self-governing power. Now, what is Disney's supposed self-governing power? Well, since 1967, Disney's been responsible for local governance in and around Disney World, an area known as the 25,000-acre Reedy Creek Improvement District. In there, the company oversees environmental and land use rules, maintains all public roads, and provides fire and emergency services. Now, some question whether a private company should be allowed to self-govern, but Disney's done what no other company has, captured every single president. DeSantis made his threat yesterday morning, and Republican lawmakers delivered, quickly advancing a pair of bills targeting Disney within hours. Now, this seems like a bit of an odd decision by the supposedly pro-business party, especially considering Disney is Florida's largest private employer. Not only that, Disney's also the reason anyone goes to Florida. Other than spring break and to die. DeSantis also wants to make Disney subject to a state law that allows people to sue big tech companies for censorship, okay? So no more censorship, Disney. We demand you release the Lion King butthole cut. It's the circle of life.
Coming up, Alexander Skarsgård.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of 2 women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
My first guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning actor you know from True Blood, Big Little Lies, and Succession. He now stars in the new movie, The Northman. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Alexander Skarsgård. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you again. It's been a while.
It's always nice to have you here. It's particularly nice to have you here because I wanted to thank you in person for something that you did for me over a year ago, a year and a half ago, because it's been a while since you've been on here because of COVID, is that for the people out there who don't know, I did a part on a show called Girls Five Eva, where I played a Swedish music producer named Alf Music.
Alf Music.
Alf Music. There you go.
I actually haven't seen.
Never saw it. No. But I knew I didn't want to do. I called you up because I didn't want to do like Swedish Chef.
No.
I didn't want to like. No. So I wanted something that was identifiably Swedish, but not super over the top. And you did. You were on your way home for Christmas, right?
I was in Stockholm, in South Stockholm, where I'm from. Yep. I was at a local coffee shop when you called.
Yes.
I guess you figured, like, I need a Swede. I know one Swede. I'll call Alexander.
You're my go-to Swede.
Yeah,
if I need, like,
ask,
you know, meatball recipes or something like that.
Yeah, you asked, if I want to be your dialect coach.
Right.
And I was more than happy to oblige.
You couldn't have been nicer. You said, actually, could I call you later tonight and I might be drunk because you had some party to go to, but you couldn't be better. You recorded every line for me and I did my best. I don't know if you got a chance. You clearly didn't get a chance.
I have not heard it. I haven't seen it. So I'm
sort of
curious to, like...
Surströmming.
Very good.
Okay.
I did a very good job on that one.
What's like the acid test for saying Swedish word?
The master class would be sjömän. It means seven seasick sailors. So sjömän.
What's the worst first word? What?
Just like
My ear won't receive it.
Hjuka. Seasick.
Hjuka. Yeah, seasick.
Seasick. Sjöman, seaman.
Sjöman.
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 Now put them together. Adamant, I'm not going to sound like the Swedish chef.
That's
here
right,
we go.
There he is.
More than happy to oblige. I'm happy I could help.
Alexander Skarsgård, let's get down to the heat of the meat here. I have seen your new movie, The Northman, and I will just give people an idea of the tone with this photograph right here. This is you raiding a village. There it is.
It's a light, fun comedy for the whole family.
It is. You mess up that village real good in this scene. You also produced it. How long did it take to produce these? The abs we know you have, but these, your traps, man. These traps up here, it's like you got two sourdough loaves up there. Was it just nothing but shrugs? You know, how long did it take to get the traps?
We should have just, like, glued on some sourdoughs up there. It would have been way easier.
Right. Yeah. That's extraordinary.
I just had to kind of carry rocks around for months, like boulders around.
This movie is, it's a revenge thriller.
Musical?
Mystical. I was going to say mystical because it's mystical because, as we were saying backstage, one of the things I love about this is that it really takes, like, Nordic mythos seriously.
Yeah.
And the point of view of this character and what his responsibilities are to revenge his father. I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah.
You revenge Ethan Hawke, your father.
Yeah.
That's in the trailer. They take that very seriously. And the gods have a part in this in their own subtle and organic and naturalistic way. What was it about this story that, you're not only starring, you're a producer, why is this story so important to you?
Well, it was, I really wanted to capture. I'd never seen that on a big screen, the Norse mythology come to life.
Yeah, they're Viking movies, but they're all very kind of glossy.
Well, the idea was kind of to try to capture the supernatural elements that are fantastical and supernatural to a modern-day audience. the goal was for people to feel transported back in time and see the world through Amulet's eyes 1,000 years ago. So all these scenes in which he gets, he has to fight a 7-foot giant skeleton, or he gets picked up by a Valkyrie to take him to Valhalla, are supernatural and crazy to us potentially, but to him it's 100% real. Not everything makes sense to him because it's like these are stories he's been told since he was young. So there's no reason for him to question it. There was no such thing as a Viking atheist. So that was kind of the goal in trying to capture that.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will ask Alexander if there is any particular prop that he has taken from his latest movie, The Northman. It might surprise you.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back with the star of the new movie, The Northman, Alexander Skarsgård. You shoot a lot of this in Iceland, which is like a time capsule of the Nordic world.
Yeah, I mean, in Northern Ireland and Iceland.
Northern Ireland and Iceland. Yeah. It looks very chilly, this shooting. There's a lot of, like, I've been in the water up in Iceland. It's really cold. They show you guys wading ashore in Iceland. Because you're wet a lot in this movie.
Yep.
How was it a pleasant shooting experience?
I was wet, muddy, and bloody for 7 months. We all were. And
wow.
It's the director, Robert Eggers. He believes in very immersive filmmaking. So
sure, The Witch, The Lighthouse.
Exactly.
Extraordinary, transportive movies.
He's incredible. And all these sets were built. It's all about authenticity and historical accuracy. So the sets were built a year before we started shooting by Viking historians, experts, like to make sure that the longhouse, the longship, everything was 100%. Authentic, but that also means that when you're in that, you're immersed in that world. You're not on a sound.
What did the set nice smell like? What did the set smell like? I was just curious.
Death, basically. Death and feces.
Can you tell us what's going on in this?
Horses, guys, horses.
Yes. Can you tell us what's going on in this clip right here? This is a very dramatic moment. You're screaming at some people.
Yeah, I'm about to avenge the death of my father.
And you say your father's name, which is has got a sort of a heraldic name to it too, and your name as well. What's your character's name?
Amleth.
But the full name is Amleth.
The Beowulf, Björnulfur.
Okay, I love it. I love those Nordic names, man.
Yeah, Aurvandil Warreifen.
That's your father.
That's my old man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It would have been great if his name was Bob.
Bob the Builder.
Yeah. I'm here to avenge the death of my father, Bob.
Jim?
I am Amleth the Beowulf, son of King Aurvandil Warreifen, and I am his vengeance!
How, as an actor, how do you keep from blowing out your voice on
that? I
did.
I was just about to tell you.
Oh, like, really?
I believe this was the first take, because I only think we got one take with the voice. Like, I guess I didn't engage my diaphragm correctly the first time, and
so you just
turned it up to 11.
Yeah.
So the second time we did it, that moment, I step out, and I go, I am Amleth the Beowulf! I am here to avenge the Beowulf! And they're all supposed to look like terrified.
Sure, yeah.
And I see everyone behind camera, and I go like, I am his minions! And they're like,
no, I understand you took one item from the movie, and there's some beautiful props, beautiful swords.
Nicole Kidman got a sword.
Yeah.
I believe Willem Dafoe got a long ship, the whole ship.
You're kidding.
I might be, but I think it was actually what happened.
Yeah.
I think
and I have a
Björk, got three Icelandic horses.
Wow.
And
you,
I
have a picture here of what you, can you describe before I show it to the people, what is it you decided to take as your souvenir?
It wasn't a choice, it was a gift.
Oh, okay.
Valued my performance.
What am I about to show?
My contribution
show
to
these
the movie.
People.
This is, it's a thong.
A blood-soaked.
It's a G-string that I wore for the end fight. Takes place on an erupting volcano.
And your clothes just burn away, I
and
guess.
And we're naked, yeah.
Again.
I mean, where else would it be set?
Exactly. Naked
and,
sword fighting.
So that's what I wore for a week. And my character's quite wounded. So he's bleeding a lot profusely. So that was my rap gift.
I'm glad this isn't scratch and sniff.
Wouldn't it have been great if I just took my pants off now and I'm wearing them?
Hey, good ratings.
Good ratings.
Alexander, so lovely to see you.
Always a pleasure, Steven.
Up next, Jack White.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest tonight is a 12-time Grammy Award-winning musician you know from the White Stripes, the Rock on Tours, and his record label, Third Man Records. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Jack White. Good to see you. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Really appreciate you coming by. Oh, it's always nice to have you here, and I know you don't do these interviews very often.
Contractually, tax-related obligation once a year.
No, I understand. This is all deductible.
Yeah,
this is all deductible. You get to deduct your hair.
Yes. Exactly. I hope so.
I like it. I really like the hair a lot.
Thank you, yes.
You know, if you stick out your tongue, you got red, white, and blue, your American flag.
Exactly, yeah.
Or a French flag, you know. How you been?
I've been really good, really good, man.
Yeah, you've had some big, big doings lately. You surprised a lot of people the other day. A little over a week ago, you surprised fans and your girlfriend, Olivia Jean, by proposing to her on stage.
I did, yes.
Here's the photo of you doing that, proposing. And then, minutes later.
Yes, moments
minutes later
yes.
Getting married right there on stage.
Yes.
was this a long-term plan, or you just went like, let's go for it?
I thought as the day was going on, if a day had some left turns, maybe it wasn't the right day, but the day kept going so well, I figured it was a good time to do it.
You started the day, and I watched this too, playing a little slide guitar national anthem at the Detroit Tigers
game.
That's
right, national anthem, and that went okay. And
how'd the team do?
They won the game. That was another good sign, right?
There you go.
So if
they had popped out to right field, you wouldn't be married right now, is what you're saying. was Olivia Jean surprised?
Very surprised, very surprised. So, luckily, Ben Swank, who works at Third Man Records, he's also a minister of some church on the internet, I don't know. And he was backstage, and I said, hey, I asked her, do you want to get married now, or you want to wait? She goes, no, I'm right now. This is a great day.
Sure.
I've
actually met Olivia Jean before. We actually made a record together. That's you, me, and her.
Yes.
11 years ago.
I remember.
We all look very much
That's
the
right.
same.
Yes.
She's the only one who hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Now, for musicians in lockdown, kind of tough because, you know, sometimes you feed off the audience, you're away from the audience, but it was a really creative time for you eventually.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in a minute. You've got two albums coming out this year. But at first, you didn't do any music, right?
No, not at all. I thought we didn't know how long the lockdown was going to be. So I thought, well, there's no touring. So I kind of thought, oh, I don't want to write songs and then they don't come out for a year and a half or something. I thought maybe I will have already moved on in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why don't I just take a break? It's been a while since I took a break from writing. So I did that.
So instead, you made furniture.
I did, yeah. I worked
on
a lot of furniture, yeah.
And what, if I got this right, what some people may not know is that your album Third Man Records is because your family's upholstery shop. When growing up, you were the little man. You were the third man.
I was the third man on my street. Yeah,
third man on your
street. Third man on the street to do upholstery. Yeah, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was Clint Muldoon and then me, and then it was also Ferdinand Street. So that's kind of like third man, Ferdinand. And then it goes on and on.
Oh, so this wasn't a family thing. This was competition on the street.
Competition. Yeah.
Competition.
Who could be the best?
Yeah, upholstery. All right. So what are we looking at here? It looks like a church pew.
Oh, this is. It's just from it's from a Masonic temple, and actually it's more sculpture than furniture, really. It's called My Sonic Temple, and you can actually plug an instrument in and perform through this piece. It has...
Can you sit on it as well?
You can sit on it. Nobody would know. I think nobody would sit down and would just think it was a bench, but you can also play through it, and it has some mysterious things it does to the signal. Mm-hmm. It's my friend has a studio that's built in a Masonic lodge in Kentucky.
Well, that's cool.
And
no
it was
windows?
A gift to him. Yeah, of course, no windows, yeah.
Right, because you can't see what's going on there with the aprons and the Omni Dominis.
The Illuminati
exactly.
meetings, yeah.
Exactly, a VG Blumenkraften.
Exactly.
There you go. And then what's going on here? This looks like a lounge chair for Bumblebee. What's going on?
Yeah. This is called the Warrior Chair, and this was, I was trying out an idea. This is from my, I own a baseball bat company in Texas. And
I co-own
a baseball bat company called Warstick, and I built this for our new headquarters. And this is interesting because this is the first, this might not have been done before, but I put netted bags inside the arms, and it contains the pieces of ash wood and oil from leather from gloves, things that revoke the smell of baseball. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down on the cushion, you know, I'm getting into some deep upholstery esoterica here.
When you sit down
on the cushion, you release air from inside the chair. Like if you sit in an old moldy or someone's been smoking cigars in it, you would smell it. So this would be, its scent is released every time you sit in it. So
you're at the ballpark.
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Yeah. That's and baseball bats are made of ash, right?
Yes, maple or ash, that's right.
Maple or ash, yeah.
I'm
an ash man.
I heard that about you. I didn't want to ask, so.
Now, your label, Third Man Records, is doing some interesting thing. They're putting out an unreleased Prince album.
Yeah,
first of all, people don't know, you put out, you're the name in analog and vinyl these days. Mm. You went all in on analog and vinyl, and it turns out to be, you know, everybody wants things put out.
We made a vinyl record with you years ago.
We did.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, it's great. We have our own pressing plant in Detroit, and it's wonderful. And, what was the original question, though, before that?
Question, the Prince album. What are you putting out?
Oh, Prince.
What is this?
Yeah, yeah. He's a pretty good musician.
Yeah. I hear good things.
Yeah.
So what's the album?
It's called Camille, and it was a record he made under a feminine sort of avatar. He had sped his voice up on the tape machine. We were using Very Speed tape, and he sped his voice up to sort of sound feminine, and he was going to release a whole album under this guise of Camille. And it got on the presses. It was all the way done. It had labels. It was going to be sleeved, and at the last second, he changed his mind and pulled it off presses and told Warner Brothers to cancel the
and
whole
no one's
project.
Heard this album yet.
Slowly, the songs have been released over time, but the actual album as a whole, as a piece together, has not been released. So we're.
Did you ever work with him? Did you ever meet him?
I met him one time. At an after party for this thing, and he was incredibly nice. It was.
What'd you guys
nice.
Talk about? Did you guys talk about guitar playing or anything like that?
We did a little bit. Yeah, he told me no one will ever tell you how to play your guitar, Jack, and that was really. Solid advice, you know.
No one will ever tell you how to play your guitar.
Don't let anyone tell you how to play your guitar.
Okay.
Exactly. This is the actual words, yeah.
But wow. Have you ever let anyone tell you how to play your guitar?
No.
This has been the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying the Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.